Just like that.
Just like that. All right. Well, welcome back to the Diecast Ranch, where we talk all things farming and diecast cars. My name is Grant. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by my buddy, as always, Chris.
Hello.
There it is. We're happy to have you back on the cast with us tonight. We are live on our YouTube channel, as well as my TikTok page, at the Orange Track Farmer. I'm also on the Instagram as well, under that same name. So the last couple episodes, we appreciate y'all listening to them. We've had some friends of ours, some guests who do things within the agriculture field, kind of agriculture adjacent. But this time we decided just to go back to our roots of just the two of us and answer some of your guys' questions. But before we get into that, let's just kick it off with our usual segment of dad jokes. So, Chris, this is your segment. So what do you got for
me? You're making me go first.
I'm making you go first because I got to remember what mine was.
Let's see. I started writing mine down just because of that.
I've been practicing mine all week.
Now you're going to forget it.
Exactly.
So you thought about this too much. The anticipation has built.
Do you just want me to do mine then?
I do.
All right. Okay. So what is green, fuzzy, has four legs, and would kill you if it fell out of a tree?
I got no idea.
A pool table.
That you're not wrong.
It's so dumb. I almost said, what would kill you if it fell out of a pool table? I'm like, no, out of a tree.
You almost screwed it up.
I know, and then we'd have to start everything all over. So, all right, can you do better or worse than that?
Well, I think this is much worse, but I guess. So I took a poll last week, and it turns out 100% of the people in the tent were upset.
That's clean. You kind of got to think about it a little bit. I like that. I've heard much worse.
I get these from a source.
Yeah. No, my wife was literally sending them to me all week. She's like, you've been terrible at this lately. You need better dad jokes. So, yeah, we've done extensive amounts of research leading up to this podcast episode.
Eventually, we're just going to get nothing but comments and emails of dad jokes.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be.
Of dad jokes. So, yeah, if you've got any good dad jokes, send them to us. We'd be happy to have them. If you think they're better or worse than ours, well, we're happy to take suggestions.
They don't even have to be good. They can be bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So long as we think they're funny, and we'll give you a shout-out if we decide to use it on the show. So, well, it's been a couple weeks, so what have you been up to these last couple weeks on the farm?
Well, let's see. We kind of had, and that's kind of where our title comes from for this podcast, Soft Start. We kind of had a little spring soft start here. We had a stretch of nice weather, 70s. I mean, it was nice weather, and it was dry, and I know a lot of guys were able to get in the field and kind of get going, get some kinks worked out. And I've been busy, did a lot. Found some tile projects that I didn't want to do, but here we are because they need to work. And it was one of those deals where it's like, oh, here's a suck hole. So start digging it up, and it turns into this gigantic project that's like can open worms everywhere. It just, it's horrible. And that happened twice.
In the same spot? Or no, different areas.
Different fields.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, just simple fix, or what you think it's going to be a simple fix, and it turns into a big project.
Well, you were telling me the other day you had to put in 40 feet of 12-inch tile.
Yeah, there's a 12-inch clay main.
Well, there was.
There was.
No longer there.
And to find good pieces, we ended up having to dig, like, 40 feet.
Oof.
It was... It's work, and that's a lot of hand shoveling.
So, the backhoe only gets you so close.
Yeah, yep. Mm. Yep. And if you don't want to go too deep either.
Was that the issue with both spots or just the one?
Clay tile was involved in both spots, yeah. The other spot, it runs through a waterway and it gets really shallow. Mm. It's all crushed. So we actually had to get a company in to drag in a new main. Or it's not a main, but replace it with plastic. So,
yeah, that plastic's not going to bust like the clay. I mean, the clay lasted probably, however many years, but it goes eventually.
I would like to know. I would have liked to seen how that was put in because it's all hand laid, and they dug all of that by hand. That's crazy.
Any idea how deep?
It depends because it varies.
Oh, sure.
In that particular project, I'm hooking into it in the field where it's good, and it's about 3.5 foot deep there. And then when it goes, it was there before the waterway was built, is part of the problem. Because when the waterway was constructed, it's only like 0.5 foot deep. So, which is the problem, because then you drive our heavy machinery over it and it breaks it. It's kind of a, but it's all full of dirt and roots. And I mean, there's several items that have led to this, and it's just decided to show its ugly face finally.
Yeah. Didn't happen overnight. And now that we're finally getting rain,
you
got to go out there and deal with
it. So as we sit here and it's wet outside, I've got open holes everywhere. They're full of water now.
Just be sure you fill them up before you start planting. You're like, hey, what's that?
Yeah.
Nosedive right into it.
I'm going to need my chest waders to even get in there to connect it back up so we can cover it up. But no, so I've been monkeying around with that, and that's taken up a fair amount of my time because I've just been doing it kind of by myself. So picking rock, and did a lot of rock picking, did some tree trimming and stuff like that. And since it's rained, it's been working in the shop, doing a lawnmower service, riveting.
Mm-hmm. Did you get so when I came to hung out with you the other day, he had 3 lawnmowers in various forms of disarray. You could still tell what they were, but it was...
They all run and move now.
Okay, well, that's good, because they didn't when I got there.
But no, it's... I got my folks is in there, and they needed theirs done, and mine, and the farms, and it's just a lot of work.
Yeah, and I think you said soft start to the season is a huge understatement, because we had a very mild winter, 70 degrees in and out during the month of February and March, and then the last probably, 4 weeks has just kind of been cold and rainy.
Yeah.
We've been having to deal with that all of a sudden.
Well, you know, like, I've been doing tile projects and picking rock and doing some field maintenance here and there and, you know, kind of taking care of the land that we use. And I know there's a lot of guys, and you included, were able to actually get some seed in the ground.
Yeah, so it would have started, I believe... last Saturday, we had a good window where we were able to get some ground worked. And we've got about just under, I would say, 200 acres of corn put in right now. Some neighbors and guys I've talked to have done some soybeans first, but we decided to stick with just the usual corn. Just under 200 acres in 3 different fields, kind of some of that earlier corn. One field we like to harvest first or towards the beginning, and then we run our cows out on it so they've got some to eat, so they're no longer stuck on grass come fall. Then we'll, like this winter, we were able to run them out there pretty much the entire season just because we didn't have the snow, the stalks weren't getting covered, so hey, free feed, let them out there. So we'll probably try and get that one out like we usually do, make sure the fence is working, and then kick them loose as soon as possible. So yeah, we've got a few acres in, but nothing too crazy. And then we have had a few more calves hit the ground in the last few weeks. So of our, I believe we're at 16 cows total in our herd. We are waiting on 4 calves, I believe. So we're, what would that be, 3/4 of the way there. So, and no real issues. We do have one cow that my dad bought my wife and I as a wedding gift, because my wife loves the cows, and one of the million things I love about her, but she loves being out there helping with the calves and everything, and that cow actually had a set of twins.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, which is not unusual with cows. I think our last set of twins would have come probably 2-3 years ago, and, you know, most cows can handle them pretty well, but this one... Just the one calf was kind of struggling a little bit, falling behind, so we decided it would be best for the cow and the calf and the other calf to make her take her off the cow, put her in the barn, and she's now a bucket calf. So we've been bottle feeding her every night. She's doing good. She's happy as can be, and we'll figure out what the next steps are to do with her. But for right now, we do have a bucket calf, and still waiting on them next couple. And I would challenge anybody out there who raises cattle to a friendliest herd contest, because ours is comprised of old 4-H and FFA projects from me and my siblings. And you could go out there and pet anyone, including the bull, on the nose at any point. Not saying you should, but I'm saying you could. They're just super friendly, easy to calf, great mamas. So, yeah, we got no complaints, and just looking forward to get them last couple on the ground. So,
well, you just can't ask for better weather than what we've been having. I mean,
we had one born during the rain, but other than that,
well, normally they're all born during a blizzard.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, and tonight might be kind of a special exception. That's also why a lot of people haven't been going probably super hard and putting crops in the ground, is it's supposed to get down to like 29 degrees tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you'll wake up to a calf.
I would not be surprised. Something about the change in the weather, the temperature, the barometric pressure, or whatever it is that they're like, hey, just, I need to give birth now.
It just never seems to fail.
No.
Never.
No. Nope. So yeah, everybody, set your watch. We'll see if I wake up to a calf in the morning.
Yeah, I'll just call you at 2 a.m. just so you can go out and check.
Do you know where your cows are? Oh, boy. But so speaking of 4-H and FFA projects, I thought something we could talk about a little bit is, so we were both involved in FFA throughout high school to various degrees, and the Iowa FFA convention was earlier this week.
Yeah.
So I've got a few FFA facts for you. I'm going to see how much you remember from the freshman FFA course we all took, the test we had to take, and that was like, what, 13 years ago? So
I don't do well under pressure, especially when it comes to tests.
Me neither. That's why I'm the one giving it. Well, you've been asking me all the questions, so I got some for you now.
This is a trap.
I had to look up all of these. I only would have known two of them. And
I have a question for you after your questions.
Okay. So what do you know what year the FFA was founded? I would have got close, but I would have been wrong. So what year? It's less than 100, I'll give you that.
It's less than 100? From this year it's less?
Yes. The FFA is less than 100 years old. So what year was it founded?
I'm just going to take I have no idea. I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say 40.
Even 1940?
Yep.
All right, you're closer than I thought you'd be, but it was 1928. So this is year number 96. So here in the next, by the next time leap year rolls around, they'll be celebrating their 100th year of FFA. And if I remember right, our chapter here in Charles City that we were both a part of was founded in like 30, 31. I don't remember that exactly, but we were early. We were right there.
Really?
Somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong later, but I believe we were fairly early, somewhere in the 30s. Might have been like 39, but we were fairly early adopters. So I actually just moved mine the other day, but you know those nice blue corduroy jackets that you wear?
Yeah.
So how many of those do you think they make per year? And to help you out, there is currently 670,000 FFA members across the country. So how many jackets do you think they make per year?
Well, so I have one of those wonderful jackets, mm-hmm. too. Stylish item.
Oh.
And you don't exactly get a new one every year.
Right.
So I'm just going to guess, I'll guess 400 a year.
You're actually really close if you multiply that by 1,000 and added 10,000 to it.
Wow, so, that far off.
I think that math checks out. But yeah, they make 50,000 FFA jackets a year.
That is really surprising.
Well, I mean, I suppose you figure you got seniors graduating. Not necessarily seniors, but you know, you got kids going out. You got new kids coming in. I thought that was a lot, too. So I would not have been anywhere remotely close to that.
Well, that's what that's where I thought. I'm like, well, it's going to be a lot lower than I think mm-hmm. it is, because it's, you know, if you join as a freshman or even a sophomore
mm-hmm.
and you get a jacket.
Right.
And then you're done.
Yeah, it's a one and done type scenario. Yeah, like, I mean, you don't need to be buying multiple jackets.
Unless you get it run over by the school bus or something. Yeah. But hopefully you're not in it. Yep.
Hopefully not. Our buddy Brady from the previous podcast is in the YouTube chat and says, even I had an FFA jacket and I didn't do jack other than the fruit sales.
Hey, that fruit sales, man, that is something that a lot of people probably don't know about, but there is a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that I'm the top seller when I was
in it. You did good, though.
I sold an enclosed trailer load of fruit every year.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, that it comes, so the fruit comes from our local grocery is who ships it to us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Fairway. Huh. Actually. Interesting. So, whenever they would bring it, it would be in a Fairway semi-trailer, and the two Fairway managers would always come and help us unload it, because we all had to unload that whole thing by hand.
Yep. Got you at a second period or whatever, though.
Yeah.
You'd call us up like, hey, I need people to help unload the trailer. It's like, I'll throw boxes versus fall asleep at math.
Yeah, but we did that. Yeah, we did that, like, with 10, 15 people for an entire semi-load. We were fortunate enough to have a little, like, shop area warehouse deal next to our classroom, and that'd just be full of fruit.
He'd open up all the windows, and that would be how he'd kind of cool it down. But it's like, hey, I need the auto shop.
Yeah.
You guys need to get your fruit out as much as possible.
Well, yeah.
As
soon as possible. So that day, everybody would have to come and get their boxes. And so there'd just be lines of parents, and, you know, some... the younger kids couldn't drive, and it's quite something. And it's the that brings in a lot of fundraising money for the year for the FFA, which goes to various things such as, you know, a lot of it for quite a few years when we were in school went to the fairground buildings, the FFA building there. And, that's a really nice building that gets a lot of use now. So, I mean, I think it was well worth it.
Absolutely. It took a lot of fruit to get us there. And there was other donations, obviously, to make the Youth Enrichment Center at our fairgrounds. But it definitely does a lot of good for the community and the fair and the FFA and everybody that's involved. So yeah. So, when we were in it, did you ever go to the national convention?
I went to the national convention once and the state, I believe, all 4 years.
Okay. You went freshman year, didn't you?
Because the national convention is at a very poor time of year.
Yep, like beginning of October.
For farmers, which is odd, because Future Farmers of America is what FFA stands for.
Right.
So you would think. It's a lot of farm kids.
Yeah.
And it is right in the middle of football, which... a lot of the FFA, at least at our school, a lot of the FFA kids, a lot of the boys played football. So we would have to miss, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like 5 days. Because it was a day travel to get out there, and I believe it was 3 or 4 days long, and then it was a day home.
I want to say that's right, because I think you would leave on like Tuesday morning, and we would get back Friday night. Because I know I went every year but my junior year because something about my classes lined up and I didn't want to miss that many. But then I did end up going senior year, which is odd because we both played football. We were both, you know, we played quite a bit. So to miss a game, I'm trying to remember how exactly that worked. But I do remember going senior year.
See, somehow. I did not play football my freshman year of high school.
Oh, that's right.
And I went... my freshman year.
Okay. I do remember that it was you and me and some other friends of ours. It was mostly kids in our freshman class.
It was. Well, I think it was like 20 of us. Yeah.
It was quite a few.
It was a lot of us. But I went to the state convention, which just got over with, I think, a day or two ago.
Yep. It was this week.
And that is also where, when you file for degrees, you accept your degrees.
Yeah,
because the state convention.
Did you get your state FFA degree?
I have all my degrees.
So you did get the American as well.
I do have my American.
Okay, well, that's what I was gonna show off here. Was my
you have your American certificate?
American
look at you.
So the pin, I took the pin out because it was on my FFA jacket, and I've got it in a drawer. I just didn't have time to find it. But, yeah, that right there is my American FFA degree. Because I couldn't remember if you got it or not. Because
yep.
I road tripped down to Louisville with my sister and two of her friends who were also getting them. We all got our degrees, went to the convention. And it's like, why was I in a car with three women and not you? But I know you were busy with, well, you were probably out of school at the time.
I don't, well, so I have it, mm-hmm. but I did not.
You didn't go.
I did not go to receive it. They right. mailed it to me.
Okay.
So, and mine, did you make that frame or did it
no,
come like
that? No, you picked them up. They were free.
Yes. So, I, mine's not as fancy as
yours. Okay.
Mine came in an envelope.
Yeah.
But I went down, let's see, so that's the American degree is the last one.
Yep, that's the and national. I was so one of my questions for you was going to be what percentage of FFA members get the American degree. I don't remember, but it's got to be slim because there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of record keeping.
Oh, we spent weeks getting ready for that.
Yeah, and then you have to, your SAE project, your big project that you do as an FFA member had to make a certain amount of money, you know, and you had to prove how you made that and where what your income was, what your expense was. You had to have all the records.
Which livestock counted as that, which is really nice.
Yep. That's, yep. Because your SAE project would have been
all my hogs.
All your hogs, yep.
And so for FFA and 4-H and also just for myself, I would raise a batch of hogs every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my project.
Mm-hmm.
And you raised cows.
Yep, I had my cattle, but then I also did
sheep.
My sheep, and I had hogs.
And I had sheep and chickens as well.
I forgot you had sheep. That's yep. right. Oh, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, if anybody's ever handled sheep before, you know they are not the easiest animal to handle.
They're stupid.
They are not smart. They are not smart by any means. They're followers, not leaders.
They're barely a follower.
Yeah, that is also
true. I have sat there and watched a sheep stick its head through a wire fence. You go help it out of the wire fence, and then it will run right around you and right back into it. I mean, it just, you can't help it.
No, they are. Yeah, they're something else.
And I'm not going to say they're, what's really nice about sheep is I think that they're easy to show,
mm-hmm.
but I am also, I outweigh the sheep and I can actually tell it where to go.
We can manhandle them a little bit.
And yeah. So I know some people struggle with that, but mm-hmm. it doesn't take, once you get them halter broke, which is the hard part.
Right.
Once you get past that and you can actually work with it, they actually do learn fairly easy.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember, and I think you were with me, it was me, you, and two other people, that it's the group showmanship.
Oh, the Club Pen of Three.
Yeah, that.
Because yep, we would have been the FFA guys.
Yep. And
it could have been our 4-H club. I don't remember.
Well, I think we alternate won that.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you win it, you can't participate the next year.
Oh, that's what it was. Yep, 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 yep.
And so we won it, I believe, I think it was either senior and sophomore or junior and freshman.
Okay.
Because we won it both years that we could.
Sure, that's right.
And, you know, just because we're that good.
Oh, yeah. Rock stars when it comes to showing lambs. But
yep. So that Pen of Three, how, if you haven't been to the fair and watched a sheep show before, so you've got three lambs and three people working the lambs, and then you have, I believe it's called a herder.
Herdsman. Yep, your herdsman.
And so basically the herdsman's job is to set the sheep perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Answer the questions, the judge will come around and want to know the feed programs and you yep. know what kind of lambs there are, what the breeds are, the ages, you know, why you pick those three lambs. So, because I think, did we make you the herdsman or did we have
some? Yeah, no, that was me. Yep. And so yep. The hard part about that is you've got three individuals
mm-hmm.
that raised their lambs three separate ways
yep.
on three different farms, And you had to know that stuff because he asked in detail.
Yep.
And we had a very, very good judge. And I don't know if he is still around. I don't think so.
Hmm. Haven't seen him since.
But he came to our fair several times. Mm-hmm. He was very good.
Yep.
And I kind of, you know, when we went to school, I kind of fell away from that. And you, unfortunately, fell further into it.
Yep, yep. I am very familiar with the way that the lamb show is run here at our county fair. My dad has actually been the sheep superintendent for, I think he just rolled 40 years.
40 years.
So he was doing it since, he was younger than me when he started doing it. And he's been doing it every year since. I mean, that's got to be a record somewhere, yeah. As far as superintendents go. Because he
well,
is,
and then what's your? You got a title there too.
I think I'm his assistant, I suppose.
Superintendent assistant.
Yeah, something like that. It's not official. I haven't had to go to any meetings yet. I don't think.
Are you on? Are you on the board yet?
No.
Do you want to be?
Don't.
Because it's one phone call away.
I know. I have been asked before, and I have considered it. And, hey, never say never, but I'm involved in a few other boards and stuff. And, you know, we'll see. And I know Dad enjoys doing the superintendent, so, I mean, I'll probably just remain his assistant for now. And then if he decides to make a change, well, we'll see what happens there. I'm not going to make any promises.
So, for those that might not know, so at the fair, you've got all your different animals, and there is a superintendent for each mm-hmm. breed of animal. So yep. you've got your goats, sheep, swine, cows, rabbits, llamas,
all
bucket bottle, dairy, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of, you know, their deal. So pigs and cows are the biggest at our fair. And I can't remember how many there are, but that barn is overfilled every year.
Well, and at one point we had the largest hog show in the state of Iowa.
Serious?
I couldn't confirm it. I had heard that fact being thrown around. And our fair was very well attended by the community, but also by the FFA, the 4-H, a lot of hogs. And I think, I know I owe a lot of credit to our advisor at the time, who he no longer teaches, but he is still very involved in the fair and stuff, Mr. Lumberg. He did so much for the FFA, so much for the community, so much for the fair. He's the reason I graduated college in only 3 years, because he, you know, pushed me to take all these classes and offered them, and just was a...
That man will never receive the amount of credit that he's due.
Absolutely not.
It is amazing what he...
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't... Them FFA degrees, I'd never have them if it weren't for him.
Nope. Staying up late, and, you know, making sure we had all of our ducks in a row, yep. and then dealing with our shenanigans along the way.
Yeah, you get a phone call, says, hey, what are you doing? You should be here doing this. Like, oh, okay. I'll be there.
yep. Multiple times I remember that happening. But so yeah, to circle back to my original question, we did talk about the Nationals. Do you remember, do you know where the Nationals were held when we went, and where the FFA HQ was at? Bit of a geography question.
Okay, so when I went to National Convention, it was in Indianapolis, I believe. Mm-hmm.
You'd be correct.
And
is that where the headquarters is, though?
No, that one I'm not familiar on.
I would have said it was in Louisville, and I'd have to look, but I think it was at some point. But currently, based on the information I can find, the headquarters is in Indianapolis.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
So question for you, where is the current national convention held?
I believe, so there for a while, like I said, it was in Louisville for a time, Louisville, Kentucky. And when I got my American degree, we did go to Louisville.
So,
but that was the only time I was ever there. Otherwise, it was always Indianapolis.
Yep, so it was Indianapolis
mm-hmm.
for the time that I went, and I believe one or two after that, and they moved it, the entire convention, correct. To Louisville, and yep. it is still currently there. So,
not, yeah, like I said, I'm not 100% sure, but I would not be surprised if they kind of go back and forth.
And I wish I knew, and I can look this up at some point, but the convention is massive.
I think it said about 67,000 FFA members attend every year, and, so 10%.
Yep, and so FFA members are high school students.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a lot of high school students at this convention.
Yeah.
And it is just so, and when you're there, you are in your dress uniform.
Yep, your official dress, your jacket and the black slacks.
And so all you see is just blue and yellow letters, just waves of them.
Because I remember, and they would give you like your little pamphlet, and it was like a scavenger hunt. I don't remember what the prize was, but to get the signature of somebody from every state. And so everybody always looked like the Alaska and Hawaii kids.
Oh, yeah, and we've seen them too.
You would see them, absolutely.
Yeah, and a surprising amount from Rhode Island. That was the one that a lot of people struggled with, but there was like 17 kids from Rhode Island.
And like you said before, like, you know, it would be, I think we would stop somewhere in Illinois, so it would be like a day and a half bus trip to get out there.
When we went, we stopped at, I believe it was at the time, the world's largest dairy.
Is that, what was it called? The,
we were talking about this the other day. I couldn't remember then.
Fair Oaks. Fair Oaks. Somewhere in Illinois. It's a giant, giant dairy farm. It's
huge.
Yeah. That's where, so we would stop, like, we would overnight somewhere, have, like, tours all the way out the next day, and then, yeah, make it to the convention in time for the opening ceremony that evening. But, yeah, we would, it was quite the experience. But, yeah, so we could drive it to Indianapolis from Iowa. I mean, you're just cutting across the north half of Illinois.
Great.
But whereas, yeah, these guys from Rhode Island and all over are flying. It's like, holy cow.
Well, yeah, you got people from the Hawaii FFA. They don't exactly get a tour bus.
Yeah, they can't.
I mean, they do at some point, but not to start.
No. But so that was, it was definitely an experience. I don't know if we've got any young listeners who are ever considering going or even being a part of FFA, but I mean, it definitely is a great experience. I enjoyed it, you know, and I think we both got a lot of benefit from it.
Yeah. Yeah, as I can't remember exactly how it goes, but as Craig Morgan said, lifetime member of the FFA.
Wow, that's like a 2006 song reference right there. It's probably not that old, but
ooh, hey, look at that!
Look
guy.
Who's in the chat. Hot dang! you want to say hi to him?
He must be. I bet him and the wife are sitting there.
So, oh, really?
Yep, we've got Larson Farms in our YouTube channel
in the chat. Hot dang! All right. I'm a little starstruck, not going to lie. And they're just in the chat. Holy cow.
You can say hi to Chet and Jean, because I guarantee that she's sitting next to him.
Oh, hi Chet and Jean. You don't know me, but I'm Chris's friend. So. Oof. All right. I'm trying to move on from there.
Repping the hat, too.
Yeah, exactly. Got this from my buddy over here. So he gave me the orange one because orange makes my head look smaller, so.
You can tell, you got it, okay, so now you got to go into the orange hat story. That's actually a pretty good story.
Well, there's a crusty one sitting behind you.
Is that the OG one, the Beretta one?
That is my OG orange hat. I got that from National Trap Shooting when we were, we would have went sophomore year high school. So my weird thing was I would buy a hat, and it would be the only hat I would ever wear. I have a Tampa Bay's Devil Ray hat.
Oh, you wore that thing forever.
It's actually, I just moved it today. Well, that's where this one came from.
Is it in a glass case on the wall somewhere?
It's actually in a carbon sealed canister. Otherwise, it will disintegrate into dust if it's not kept at the perfect temperature. So I would get a hat and I would just wear it. So I had this crusty green Tampa Bay Devil Rays hat, cause that was like my baseball team in sixth grade or something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I retired the Tampa Bay hat. I got this orange Beretta hat that I like, cause that was the shotgun that I used for trap shooting. And I just like stuck with the orange hats. I have another one like this, but then I've always just kind of worn some form of orange hat, to the point where when I was in college, I would get Snapchats from friends of mine from across the, you know, 1,000-yard central campus of me and my orange hat just bobbing across, you know, walking to the pace of Icky Thump by the White Stripes, just walking along like, hey, it's Orange Hat Guy. Like, people in class who wouldn't know my name, like, hey, Orange Hat Guy, what'd you get for number 4? Like, so that was just kind of my thing.
I was several miles from you, and I would get Snapchats of Orange Hat Guy walking across campus.
Yep.
It's like, and so now you've got one of your hats that you had for your wedding.
Yep, I had these made up for you guys that were in my wedding party.
And of course they're orange.
Of course they're orange. So G&M in an ear tag. So yeah, orange hats are kind of my thing, if you couldn't tell. So he had to give me the orange one when he gave me the Larson Farm Larson Farms hat. So which I do appreciate. So
well, it just, as soon as I wasn't even going to pick that one up, but as soon as I seen it, I'm like, oh, I guess I know where that's going.
Yep, so you guys can send me the check for the advertising that my dome does for you.
Yeah.
Like they need it, oh my gosh. So, but.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that was all the FFA facts I had, so just that kind of took us down a fun rabbit hole, a little walk down memory lane. But
so I mean, we're over halfway through this podcast already. We haven't even gone over the podcast car yet.
Yep. The cast car was a personal favorite of mine. So this is just called Tractor, like Hot Wheels.
That is the name of that
Tractor. I kid you not. So you kind of can't tell, but it's, I don't know, what model of Tractor. So this one's red, but they also make a green one, and I actually recently discovered they make a yellow one and a silver one. So I have the green and yellow one.
Oh, you got to collect these all then.
Exactly. So I've got the green and yellow one. I've got the red, but yeah, now the yellow and the silver I need to collect.
I've got no idea what this is. It looks like a Massey Ferguson almost.
Exactly, but they make it in every color. So it's got the loader bucket on it that doesn't move, but I'm not sure you'd
want to. Is that an actual Hot Wheels brand?
Yes. So it was, if I could find a year on it, 1991. Would have been when this casting was released. I don't know about the red color itself, if like red was before green or vice versa, but that is the cast car, was this John Deere Tractor. Just says Tractor. So if anybody knows where I can find a silver one or the yellow one, let me know. Then I'll have all four of them. And
we really got to get our shelves up here.
Yeah, we really kind of do. We need to move my guitars that I never play and get them. I actually have all the podcast cars are separated into a bucket somewhere. I have cars everywhere.
There is. You guys can't see all this behind the scenes stuff, but there is boxes and bags of cars all over this room.
So we've got a box here waiting down the bench that our mics are clamped to. I've got my desk over here that we used to record on with probably the next 3 months worth of pocket cars and stuff I bought recently. Behind Chris is 2.5 totes full of cars that I'm trying to sell or have recently bought. And that's not counting. I got one over there. That's stuff I'm trying to sell. And then I've got boxes full of open cars in the basement. So I have cars everywhere. Like if you know, society collapses and they're the new form of currency, I will be rich. But until then, I just have lots of them. And my daughter's too young to play with them because, you know, 3+, a lot of small parts. Remember that. But so, yeah, she can't play with them yet. But when she does, when she turns 3, she's going to inherit about 1,000 cars and I'll hang on to the rest. But, yeah, cars everywhere. My wife's in the comments, so many cars. As she's upstairs in the bathroom organizing that and probably find them in the pockets of my pants and stuff. So,
how many times have you washed one?
Not as often as you'd think, but more often than I'd like to admit. It does happen. I mean, it's better than washing like a Sharpie or a Chapstick because it's just a metal car. But yeah.
I think the worst thing is washing paper.
Oh, that's just gross. You get that like weird wad of like...
It gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just, and then if you don't find it after you take it out of the washer and it gets into the dryer, it's worse.
Yeah, no. Nobody likes that.
Especially if it's a couple bucks or something like that, then you're laundering money.
I have washed 4 of his, she says. Well, she would know. I'm not even going to begin to argue. I'm surprised it's only 4. I would have thought it would have been many, many more than that.
They're clean, at least.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, man. So the whole, we really didn't have a topic for this episode. I mean, we went on and on about FFA and our opening stuff for the last little while, but we just kind of wanted to get on and just kind of answer some of your guys' questions that we received through our various social media platforms. I know you've been putting out polls on the Instagram. I've done some various TikTok videos kind of asking people, you know, hey, what do you want to hear from us? What do you want to see in this podcast while it's still in its infancy. But, you know, what questions do you have for us that pertain to farming, die-cast cars? I mean, I don't know why people would want our opinions on current events and what's going on in the world, but, I mean, hey, we'll answer some things as best we can. So, yeah, we've got a few questions that we're going to try and answer for you guys, and if you have anything you'd want to hear us talk about, like I said, drop it in the chat, slide into our DMs. Yeah, tell us what you want to see on the podcast. We'll do our best to give you straight and honest answers. So
everything we say is straight and honest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Got to have integrity here.
So Andrew in the chat, he asked a question earlier if we've planted any corn, which we did sort of answer, but yep. I have not planted any corn or beans yet on the farm.
Nope.
And you got corn only in?
Yep, just corn. And there was, so I believe it was Saturday, I'd worked a field that hopefully if things dry out, we'll be able to plant tomorrow, just a 65-acre chunk. I got that worked while Dad was planting that field, that 38 acres that we run our cows on. And it was one of those like, well, not enough hours left in the day. Let's just not get ahead of ourselves. You know, it's the 14th of April or whatever it was. No need to get in a big yank. So we decided not to plant that. We'll plant that. Hopefully tomorrow things dry out. But I had nothing else worked. So it was kind of one of those like, hey, do we switch to beans? And we opted not to. Just going back and forth, you know, switching planters isn't that difficult, but you know, it does take time, and then to get all the corn seed out, put the beans in, figure out what you want, where it's going to go, it was just too much work, so we just stuck with corn. Yes, and my lovely wife and my daughter did work that field with me.
Thanks, think you're getting called out here.
She's in the chat like, hey, I was there. It's like, yes you were. So I can only listen to so many podcasts. It's nice to have company every once in a while. My daughter just kind of runs around on the floor, and if I got a clutch to like pick up a rock, and I was like, toes, like, where's your foot at? Because you know, you just slam on it and throttle back and try not to send her into the windshield. But
yeah,
so it so far so good.
So we got a couple of poll questions and some previous questions that we've gotten that we've, and don't feel like we've ignored you because we save them for things like mm-hmm. this. So I'm going to ask you one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny that your wife actually mentioned this earlier because I had it written down before she said anything. And it is, what is your ideal field lunch?
Field lunch. Okay. So
you're waking up at 6 a.m. and you're about to head out for the day, and you're probably not going to see the house until 9, 10, 11 o'clock again. Oof. What are you taking with you?
All right, so I'm all about snacks. And actually, okay, no, my wife is all about snacks. Like, whenever we road trip or we go somewhere, she has snacks. Like, honey, why are you packing so many snacks? We're going like an hour one way, and then we're going to do some shopping and come back. Why do you have so many snacks? She's like, you never know. So she is the queen of snacks. And so when I'm packing my lunch, she's like, nope, take more. You never know. And she's never been wrong in that regard. So I pack my lunch. I always take some sort of ham and cheese sandwich. I'll do PB&J if I'm feeling adventurous or if we're out of lunch meat. But it's always some sort of like ham and cheese sandwich. My favorite chips in the world to go with it are the Ruffles cheddar sour cream and onion. I don't know why, but I just love them. Or anything made by Pringles. I mean, just the efficiency in that cylinder of wonderfulness, you can't go wrong with those either. So I would say turkey sandwich, three turkeys to two cheese, white bread, and then some chips. You always got to take – I'm a dark pop kind of guy, whether it's Coke or Dr. Pepper. I'm not picky. Whatever is available, I will take. But then water, you also got to take a bunch of waters, because is there anything worse when you're out there in the field and you're just dying? It's like you got to hydrate, like sitting there in a tractor, you'd be surprised how thirsty a guy can get. So that's usually kind of my lunch. And, you know, if there's something like dessert wise, I'll throw in like some Oreos or something. I have a terrible relationship
you
with Oreos.
And Oreos.
Oh my God. It is not healthy. It is not. Like, if Oreos did not exist in this world, I would be just 185 pounds, just shredded, just unstoppable.
You're blaming it all on Oreos? It's everything?
Strictly Oreos. I mean, that's... And donuts. Anyways. But yeah, so that's the thing. You just throw a couple in. It's like, well, that's your Oreo ration for the day. So use it sparingly. But then, you know, I'll try and throw in something a little bit better, like cheese sticks, an apple. The problem is fruit really gets banged around in your cooler. You ever thrown like a banana in there?
You can't do it. It's got to be on top. It's got to be the first thing gone.
Exactly. Because if you, and I always tell myself too, it's like, if you don't eat that right now, you're not going to eat it because it's going to get destroyed. And then you just end up throwing it out there. It's like, well, there's some compost for you. So, so where are we at? So I had sandwich, chips, drinks, plenty of water. And then, yeah, just granola bars, various snacks. Now, if I'm feeling fancy, we'll get like some fudge rounds or some like Little Debbie's or something. But I mean, you try not to get too carried away. So yeah, you got to kind of, I try and alternate my snacks. It's like, okay, granola bar, meat stick, Oreos, cheese stick. And then, yeah, just try and alternate the healthy with the unhealthy. But, I mean, when's the earliest you've ever eaten your lunch in the cab?
What's the earliest?
The earliest.
That's an embarrassing answer.
Because that cool, it's just talking like, hey, you're hungry.
No, okay, so see, I'll eat your lunch. I'll tell you exactly how this goes, okay? So, you wake up. It's early. You get to your tractor. You do your maintenance. You put your fuel in. You do whatever you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And you got your box, and he's sitting at... I always set mine down by the clutch by the windshield, so it's right in front of you.
Oh, I put it on the brake side.
And, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. What do you think of that?
That's right-handed. And, yeah. So, you let's say we're working ground. So, we go get your GPS set, because everybody's got GPS.
Mm-hmm.
You're lying if you say you don't have it. And you start going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you work that farm for 6 hours.
Nonstop.
And you go and you sit there and you stare at that lunchbox the whole time. And you sit there and work and go back and forth and back and forth. You're like, oh, you know, I'm getting a little hungry. And you get in there and you start. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to keep going. Next thing you know, it's empty. And then you look at your watch and it's 9 a.m. And you have just made the biggest mistake of your entire day.
Yep.
Because now you have like a bottle of Pepsi and a water bottle to last you all the way until you're done for the day because you're not going home.
Nope.
And you got to live with your mistake. You have to sit there and live with it.
That, like she says in the chat, that's why you need snacks. That's why she does it.
See, that's why you have an excellent wife that has provided this for you.
Yep. And usually, when they come out to ride with me, she's like, "Hey, we're coming out after nap time. I brought you like a whole bag of mini oranges." It's like, okay, thanks. I mean, I'll maybe eat one or two, but yeah, I'm not gonna. I don't need them all. I'll have them for tomorrow.
So my, I'll let you finish it.
I mean, that's really kind of it. I would say my big takeaway is, yeah, you got your main lunch. But then you just got to have something to fill the voids because, yeah, you know, if somebody's bringing out supper and they get held up and all of a sudden you thought it was coming at 5 and now it's not, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock and they're not there yet. It's like, hey, you got to have something to fill those gaps. So you can never have too many. I'd rather put them back in the pantry at the end of the night than not have them at all or be that guy lugging around a 45-pound cooler because you packed too much water. So...
Yeah,
you cannot be too prepared.
You know, my rule of thumb is if I take 6 waters with me and I bring 5 home, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pack 1 and that thing's gone by 1 p.m., that is, you will never be as thirsty as you are when you don't have something.
Yep, and then you're sitting there thinking like, all right, how could – it's not too far of a drive back. And it's like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So
Can I take the stress of this for the rest of the day? Yes, I can.
You're just alone in that cab with your thoughts, and it's like, this was a poor, poor decision.
And you have to sit there and live with it for the rest of the day.
All right, so what would you have in your cooler then on your ideal spring or fall?
So the boys up north that I worked with turned me on to this last fall.
All right.
So I always used to be just sandwich, chips, drinks, and that was it. Maybe a snack or two. But I took a lot of fluids.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, a pop or two, three, four, or five waters, whatever it was. And, again, it would always be gone by 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and it was a horrible life decision.
Yep.
So I go up there, and they're like, well, what are you taking cold sandwiches for? And I'm like, well, I can't take a microwave with me. And he goes, well, you got to get one of these. And then they pull out this little lunch bag deal, and it has a hot plate in it. It's called a Hot Logic.
Wow.
And that plugs into a cigarette lighter.
Okay, which all of our tractors have.
Yep, and so it just takes like a little plastic container, which I would say would be like everybody's average leftover container that you would put in the fridge or something.
Okay.
It would fit a sandwich and a half. I mean, it's pretty good size.
Hmm.
Normal lunch size container. And so I would make... I got one. And I'm like, well, what am I going to put in this now? I got to try this. So I made some like hamburger helper or something and stuck it in there. And they're like, well, so it takes a little bit to heat up. So if you start getting hungry and you think you want to eat at noon or something, plug it in at like 11:30. And then, you just let it sit there and heat up, and it's insulated, zipped up. So you can plug it into your cigarette lighter and throw it on the floor and let it sit.
Huh?
And it will get that food so hot you can't eat it.
11:30 next time.
And it changed my life because I haven't taken a cold sandwich since.
Interesting.
And I've tested the waters on some of this stuff. I'm not entirely sure it could cook like raw meat. Like if you put like a hamburger in there, I don't think it would take a really long time to cook it.
Sure.
But, like, I have put in frozen pizza pockets in there.
So you took them out of the freezer?
Took them out of the freezer in the morning, put them in the container.
Gosh.
Took them with me, 11 o'clock, and those take longer, obviously,
because they're
cold. And plugged it in for an hour. I had hot pizza rolls.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not even kidding. I haven't taken a cold sandwich ever since they turned me on to that.
Wow. So Hot Logic, if you're listening somehow and like to be a future sponsor of the podcast, we definitely, it sounds like you're sold on the idea. I would love to try one out, but my wife says then I could take hot dogs in the cab with
me. Oh God, the hot dogs. and your hot dogs.
It's got all the nutrients. I'm not going to say.
Nutrients?
It's got all the nutrients to keep somebody like me. We were into Walmart.
Hot dogs and Oreos.
That's what kept me alive in college when I was on my own. Quick hot dog story, though. We were, the price of everything's gone up, obviously, and we don't need to get into that, but we were into Walmart not too long ago getting groceries, and when I was in college, I would buy the 8-packs of hot dogs for 88 cents. And I could have bought better priced hot dogs, but just being a young and dumb college kid.
I mean, I hate to ruin it for anybody that doesn't know, but do you know what's in them things?
Yep, and I can live with it. I had an uncle that said something that I can't I don't want to repeat on the podcast like what they're made of, but yeah, it's they're I 11 cents a dog is what it boiled down to. I was eating those constantly as a college kid, and I see that same brand, same packs, like $1.29 now. It's like, oh, you can't even get hot dogs for under a dollar anymore. What's this world coming to?
I know how you did it. It's because your ketchup to hot dog ratio was rather high.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a lot of hot dog left when you're just drowned in that sucker.
If you were ever in partnership with Heinz would go broke.
Yeah.
Remember.
Get out of here, Hunts.
You and somebody else, you'd just eat it by the spoonful in high school.
Well,
it was weird. That was weird. I'm not
going to
lie.
Oh, no, I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of that. Oh, my gosh. But, we were young and dumb. We all make mistakes. We're granted second chances every once in a while. But, yeah, so Yeah, no, I don't know if I'd take hot dogs. If I could take pizza rolls, your whole hot pocket. I mean, I don't
understand why you couldn't take hot dogs in that thing.
What have you ever tried to make like a lasagna or something? Like leftovers, I understand. Yeah. But let's make the lasagna. Let's put it in the bag.
Oh, like ingredients, like, oh, yeah. So that's what I haven't been able to try yet.
Oh, yeah.
I could try it any time. I mean, it plugs into a cigarette lighter. You can try it in your truck. But that is really nice because as long as you have a 12-volt lighter,
mm-hmm.
that's all you need. And that's all I can really say about it is that it has changed my life for the better. All
right, so no longer a cold sandwich kind of guy.
No, and so I might take some chips or a little snack or a big granola bar guy. And so that's all I take. But then the problem is, and so what's actually really nice is Walmart sells those containers for like 60 cents with a lid. So you put it all on there, you put it in your fridge. Wake up in the morning, grab it, zip it into your container, and then that's your lunch or whatever. You do breakfast. You could do 3 meals a day for all it. You know, you stick all them containers in your lunchbox, and you got 3 hots.
Nice.
All you're missing is a cot.
Yeah, you can't sleep in a tractor. Not nearly enough space.
If you're determined
enough. You got to be really tired at that point. But that's just amazing how far we've come, because I remember my dad told me a story. I think it was my grandpa. He would just, I don't remember if he would take a sandwich or what it was, but he would like wrap it in tinfoil and set it in a certain spot in like the engine block of one of his tractors, make a round, and then it'd be warm enough he could take it off and eat it. So it's like, or maybe he had a box that he made that he would just throw. I don't remember for sure. I'll have to ask him, but just to warm up his food that way. And here we are with, you know, you're making a 4-course meal from a bag if you want to. That's amazing.
So this is actually a hilarious story of how these hot logics came to light. And so we were doing some, it was wet, and we were doing some light field work. And
spring or fall?
Fall.
Okay.
Last fall.
Well, of course. Gotcha. Yep. When you were up north.
Yep. And it was me, and then there was another Iowa guy that was there, Jordan. And I'm calling you out on this, Jordan. So we're working.
This is your hot dog story, Jordan.
And it was a Hot Pocket story, actually. So we're working in the same field. I had no idea this happened until later that night, because we bunked together. And so he goes, he had a hole in his sweatshirt or something. I said, what happened to your sweatshirt? And he goes, oh, it happened when this. And he rolls up his sleeve, and his arm is burnt.
Oh.
Like, badly burnt. And it's like, what did you do? And he goes, well, I was reaching for my hot pocket on the manifold of the tractor, and I accidentally grazed against the muffler. And it was bad.
Oh, no.
But then it was like 3 days later, and the hot logics were there.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, that was funny.
Oh, and that is nuts.
And it was, so it blistered, obviously. It was a bad burn, but it blistered and popped, and hit, so he had an old man arm. Basically, all falls all wrinkly. No.
In case you didn't know, tractor engines get hot.
Well, and we had been doing tillage, and so it was pulling all day. It was hot.
Oh, man. So would he just, like, set the hot pocket on the thing?
Yeah, just right on the manifold.
Oh, my gosh.
He had it wrapped in tinfoil.
Well, I would hope so.
Yep. And he goes, well, it wasn't even on there that long, but the muffler is right there.
Right.
Just barely touched it.
Oh, no.
Yep, it was quite something. I imagine that it hurt quite a bit, or he didn't feel it at all.
Well, the worst part about that is you just burned your arm, and now you got to eat a Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
I'm anti-Hot Pocket. Nobody.
So that's where, then after that, we're like, well, I wonder, you know, we were doing the leftover thing in the Hot Logics, but it's like, well, I wonder how far we can take this.
Mm-hmm.
And we experimented with the frozen stuff, and I did like frozen chicken patties. Work great. But I don't know how it would do with, like, raw ingredients. I feel like it might get it there, but it would take a long time.
You got to get it cooked to a certain temperature and everything, too. It's like, is there water involved? I've seen ones that, like, it'll boil water or something.
Well, I mean, if you put water in your container.
Okay.
So just imagine my paper pad here is in the bottom of a bag. It's just a hot pad.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
And it gets hot. I mean, like, you can't put, like those plastic microwavable containers.
Oh, sure.
You can put that in there. But, like, a burrito wrapped in a Ziploc bag or something, it'll melt the Ziploc bag.
Oh, wow, that's pretty hot.
It gets hot.
Oof. I don't want to be that guy that's sitting there with a... with a hot sandwich that's covered in melted plastic. Like, well, if I don't eat this, I'm not eating today. So I don't want to be the guy that's going to make that decision. But yeah. So, well, we've been going on and on for a while now, so we'll probably keep the YouTube live going for a little bit longer, but I think we're going to cut the podcast there. So we appreciate you guys tuning in as per usual. Listen to us talk about FFA and food, I think was the majority of this one. But
yeah, that wasn't what we intended on.
Not at all. So, but
I guess that's what you get.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're the Diecast Ranch, raw and uncut. So no, we appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll probably keep the live going for a little bit, but we'll publish up this podcast as is. So thank you guys for tuning in. Continue to reach out to us on the socials, on the TikTok and Instagram, and the YouTube at the Diecast Ranch. My socials are the Orange Track Farmer on TikTok and Instagram as well for any diecast content out there. And also leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. I think we don't have any reviews yet. So if you like what you see, or if you don't like what you see, we appreciate the feedback either way. So drop us a review and we'll just keep kind of doing what we're doing. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight and being a part of another episode of the Diecast Ranch. So
keep your stick on the ice.
Keep your stick on the ice.